Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Friday, October 12th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next hour or so. We'll go over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Glad to wrap up this week with you here on Bang the Book Radio. Two guests, two segments left to go for this week. The Westgate Super Contest Selection segment with myself and Wes Reynolds. He'll help me out again today as we break down the Week 6 NFL card from a Super Contest standpoint. I wound up really liking last week's card once I finally got through the process of selecting all my games and all that, and then went 0-4-1. So the fact that I don't like this week's card, maybe something that's kind of a little bit of a benefit for me here as I look to improve upon my 8-14-3 record in the Super Contest. We'll chat about the Week 6 picks there with Wes. Second half of today's show, Brent from DSI Sportsbook, this week's version of the Odds Report. Sharp money out there all over the place in the college football and the NFL betting markets. So we'll chat with Brent about that. Also about what it means when these lines move as we get closer to kickoff, and also forecast some of the line moves in some of the games that we discuss. Over at bangthebook.com, where we are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information, you can check out everything that we have to offer. A lot of great stuff over there. Updated NFL power ratings from Danny Vorgs. He's having a fantastic season with those, so you definitely want to make sure that you check those out. My college football power ratings posted on a weekly basis as well. NLCS preview, Dodgers versus Brewers. ALCS preview, Astros versus Red Sox, both over there at the website. Of course, if you missed yesterday's breakdown of those two series and of how to hedge futures, you can find that segment as well as all of the past segments from this week of Bang the Book Radio over there at bangthebook.com. Don't forget about our free pick contests. Make sure you check those out. Also, our sportsbook reviews, including that review for DSI Sportsbook. Bang100 is the promo code. 100% deposit match bonus is what you'll get over at BetDSI, where it's only a game until you bet it. Don't forget that the NBA starts next week. We're mobilizing our writing staff to put together some very good NBA stuff for you. College basketball coming around the pike here as well. So we'll have that coming up soon. And the NHL in full swing. Parker Michaels doing an excellent job with that. My NHL situational piece can be found on Sunday over at bangthebook.com. And I'll also be writing up my first NBA situational piece over there as well, with the NBA season starting here in the middle of next week. So lots and lots of stuff going on. Very, very busy, to say the least, right now over at bangthebook.com. Our writers are working hard. I know that they would appreciate your clicks and views. I know that I certainly would as well. So if you get some time here this weekend, definitely make sure that you check out all of the great work being done over at bangthebook.com. We got two segments left here for this week on the show. The first one is that Westgate Super Contest selection segment with myself and Wes Reynolds. As I mentioned, my Bang the Book podcast entry, not really doing so hot here, 8-14-3 to start the year, but our bangthebook.com gold entry, 14-8-3, and the other Bang the Book traditional entry, 13-9-3. So it's not all bad news for us, and we are doing very well in the Golden Nugget Ultimate Football Challenge, where we're tied for 18th. But I just got to get things back on track here with my Bang the Book podcast entry for the Super Contest. So here are my thoughts for Week 6 with some help from Wes Reynolds for the Westgate Super Contest. All right, I'm joined now by Wes Reynolds for the Week 6 Westgate Super Contest selection segment. Wes, how's it going today, man?
Hey, Adam, how are you doing? For the 1,001, or this will be the 1,002 show, I'm sorry.
I'm doing well, man, and I wish I was doing a little bit better here with my Bang the Book podcast entry in the Super Contest. 8-14-3 so far, so not the greatest of records, obviously, to say the least. I've had some bad handicaps. I've had some games that haven't gone my way here so far, but every week you kind of wipe the slate clean and hope that it's the week that you put together one of those elusive 5-0 records. Speaking of our Super Contest results so far, bangthebook.com gold entry, 14-8-3. Bang the Book traditional entry, 13-9-3. So those two entries doing a little bit better. My podcast entry, not so much here. But last week, Wes, it was a struggle for the field overall. 44.67%, 50.07% now on the season. You and I kind of talked about that Week 5 card and how there were a lot of tough spots, a lot of games that were either on key numbers or looked like they were, just complete toss-up kind of handicaps, and things kind of played out that way.
Absolutely. This was just, some weeks are just kind of like that, where you don't like a lot of plays when it comes maybe for the purpose of submitting into the super contest, but then you like him better when you look at him again on game day. And I'm usually not a one that's going to make a lot of your traditional side and total bets on game day, because sometimes the value is taken out. But I think if you're betting games on game day, the game day is a lot more for like derivative betting for your first halves, your second halves, first quarters, because you'll see some things on Sunday that maybe you didn't have a chance to think about during the week because the week is so busy, you know, with not only college and pro football and then the other sports starting, but you'll figure those out maybe on Sunday, and then all of a sudden you'll say, wait a minute, why wasn't I looking at this first half total under? You know, and a lot of times because these aren't up until Saturday for the NFL card on Sunday. So it's not like they're putting these first half totals and quarters and first halves up, you know, on Tuesday or Wednesday before game week, unless it's like a Thursday night game. So, I mean, that's the tricky thing with this is just, you know, sometimes you don't like a lot of stuff until late in the week, or sometimes you'll like a bunch of stuff early in the week and then not like anything on the weekend.
The gold last week, 46.14%, so that field struggled as well, but they're 53.15% for the season, so a little bit more than 3% better than the traditional Super Contest field. And, Wes, before we get into the games that I do like for this week, and it's not a card that I have a ton of confidence with here so far, that's what I want to talk about, is that there's a real crisis of confidence here when you have a bad week in the Super Contest, because you know the margin for error is extremely thin. So me, for example, where I pulled off an 0-4 in 1 week, I mean, now you just face such long odds to even cash, even relatively long odds to put yourself in a pretty good position to have a solid record. You know, you question everything. You can't lock in on anything. That's one of those things, too, where with a personal bankroll, maybe you had a good college football Saturday. You know, like I went 4-0 with the college picks in our joint Golden Nugget entry, then did nothing in the NFL. So whereas with a personal bankroll, you know, you've got a silver lining of, well, I did really well on Saturday or did well with props or derivatives or something like that. Here in the Super Contest, I mean, it's a lonely feeling when you pull off a really bad week. And that crisis of confidence is something that kind of trickles into the handicap of every game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's the toughest thing that we deal with, I think, as bettors and people that participate in this arena, is that, you know, how to shake off a bad week, because it is really tough. And I mean, you know, people are only human. I don't care whether you just kind of bet privately or you make your picks public or you make your picks available for purchase or whatever part of the industry you're in. It's only natural that you're going to get confidence shaken. And I mean, but the way to do it is just, you know, sometimes treat it as a new week. And especially if you're betting daily, where if you're doing hockey, if you're doing NBA, college hoops, soccer, you know, stuff that you have during the week. Like yesterday or on Wednesday, rather, there wasn't a lot out there. I mean, there was some NBA preseason, all the baseball, the divisional series had wrapped up. There was no football. And there was only a very small NHL slate, so it wasn't like there was a lot out there to bet for the daily. And sometimes when those days happen, they're actually a good thing because you know it's about to get real busy here in a couple weeks. So, I mean, it's just I think you got to treat every week as a new week because there will always be one week. There will always be little anomalies. In terms of the underdogs cover like a lot in 1 week, you might have 10 underdogs cover. And then the next week you might have 10 favorites cover. So, I mean, a lot of these are anomalies. I mean, certain years are better than others, but you can't just, I think, overreact in terms of a sample size. And there's some games this week where, you know, people might be overreacting and we'll touch on them individually in terms of the market, where the market hated a team last week and then they got burned and now they like them this week. So, I mean, you know, you can't yo-yo, I guess, too much. And I think it's a way where you can find winners, where you can capitalize on people kind of, you know, being afraid because the team burned them last week. So now they've got to go with them this week, or a team that they played last week and really liked and they didn't get the result for that 1 week, that doesn't mean they're not going to get the result the next week.
And like you said, I mean, you know, you don't want to overreact to 1 week or what you last saw, but at the same time, you know, the market overreacts. And there's really, we talked about this with Brad Powers on Thursday, where, you know, one of his favorite things to do is look at those look ahead lines on Thursday for the next week in the NFL. And then after the games are played on Sunday, circle back and look at those overreactions that are out there. And they're always there. They're always present in the NFL because it's the biggest game in town. So, you know, it's such a complex thing to be a bettor and be a handicapper. And, you know, obviously the contests, you've got game theory involved and different stuff like that, but you know, they're always, so many considerations, so many things you have to try to keep in mind here, along with just the simple fact of trying to pick winners. And hopefully I'll do a little bit better of a job here with that this week. So as we start to look at some of the games that I'm looking at for week six, I would say there's one game that I really like, one game that I like a fair amount, and then the rest are maybes, games I'm a little bit stronger on than others. Again, I talk about that crisis of confidence, a big deal here with me with regards to this NFL card. But we'll go ahead and start with a big favorite here, and that's number three in the Super Contest rotation order, the Minnesota Vikings. They're a 10-point favorite here against the Arizona Cardinals. I was against Minnesota last week in Philadelphia. Was the last play I decided to make. And obviously we know how that one went with me for the Eagles. But in this situation here, I think this is one of those get right, beat the hell out of somebody, get back on track kinds of games for the Vikings. They've been a severe underachiever so far this season. The Cardinals do not move the football. They haven't had more than 263 yards in a game this season. The defense has already had three games allowing 400 or more yards. Cardinals play a short week game next week against Denver at home. So, you know, going all the way out to Minnesota, then you got to come back, get ready to play right away for a home game. And again, this is an Arizona team. It's not going anywhere this season. So maybe not a maximum level of focus with this long trip up to the Twin Cities. Also, double-digit favorites in the NFL. We talk about, you know, how hard it is to lay doubles in the NFL. Double-digit favorites at home since the start of 2014, 49-28-1 against the spread. Bad teams have been really bad. Good teams have taken advantage. I think Minnesota is still a pretty good team, so I'm looking to lay the minus 10 here in this spot with Minnesota.
If I were to make this play, it would be Minnesota or nothing, because simply, if you look at the Arizona side, Josh Rosen did win in his first road start, and they ended up pushing or covering, depending on the number you had against Seattle when they played them out at home at University of Phoenix Stadium 2 weeks ago. But they did get a win at Arizona or at San Francisco, but San Francisco is obviously a mess without Jimmy Garoppolo, and now I think they probably know they're not going anywhere, at least for this season. So, you know, maybe it's showing that there's a little bit of confidence in Rosen because, I mean, if we look last week, all four rookie quarterbacks, I mean, that's one of those anomalies. All four of the rookie quarterbacks won that were starters last week. So, you know, maybe there's a little bit of confidence in Rosen. I think Minnesota is a lot better than their record indicates, 2-2-1. I mean, they went out to L.A., didn't get the win, but, you know, within seven. I mean, they weren't dominated by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, it's tough to win, and the Rams are pretty good. So, you know, that's a tough spot for Minnesota. I think people are still looking at Minnesota as the team that lost to Buffalo, and I think that they are a lot better than that. I still think Minnesota is a bona fide contender in the NFC, whereas we look at the AFC – and there looks like maybe there are two contenders, the teams that are playing on Sunday night, that those are realistically the teams that you could see and say, hey, they're getting to a Super Bowl. And the NFC, even though the Rams right now are 5-0, you could still see 4, 5, 6 teams out of the NFC, at least with a chance. And I think Minnesota is one of those. And plus, they've had to play the last 2 weeks. I mean, they had to play L.A., and then they had to play Philadelphia. So, I mean, this is like a horse racing analogy a little bit, one of those, you know, that I kind of like to use in terms of this is a drop in class. You know, this is dropping down from stakes to, my terminology may be wrong, so more some of the equine experts that listen to this podcast can correct me, but, you know, this is like dropping in for a tag, basically. after you lost against better competition in a stakes race. And, you know, Minnesota would be the team that I think I would lay. And we know that, obviously, your more recreational and public bettors that might be in the contest like to be bet favorites, but they might be skittish about laying Minnesota with 10. And we were talking before we came on the air. They have no problem laying those double digits with your premium teams, you know, or your traditional premium teams, Patriots, Packers, those type of teams. And maybe the Rams are going to become that at some point, even later on this season. They have no trouble laying that. But Minnesota, who's kind of a good team but not seen as a really elite team, they might not want to do that. So I'm actually kind of on your side here with Minnesota. I would not even look at Arizona here.
And this is a spot, too. I mean, if Minnesota was playing the Saints next on Sunday Night Football like they have on October 28th, I wouldn't even entertain the thought. But they play the Jets next week. So no look-ahead spot, you know, back-to-back road games against playoff caliber teams, even though Philadelphia, you know, is having its share of struggles here. I don't think that there's really a letdown. You know, you're coming back home where you just lost by 3 touchdowns to the Bills. You want to put your best foot forward here for this one in front of the home fans. So I think Minnesota, if you're going to take a big favorite here this week, I think Minnesota is the one to look at over Green Bay or the Houston Texans. But before we get away from this and get back to the plays that I'm looking at here for this week, you and I had a very interesting discussion before we started recording here about the Houston Texans. And you know, the NFL is by and large about optics. And Houston's optics are not very good right now. That game against the Cowboys was awful all the way around. Houston has not looked very good. They're not a well-coached team. But when you look at them this week, there is something kind of intriguing despite that big number.
Yeah, this is probably one I'm going to bet. I certainly would use it in the Super Contest. If I have, you know, just my own entry of 5, I would lay the 9.5. Because if you look at Houston, they could realistically be an 0-5 team right now. They got to, even though they led most of the game, they got taken to overtime in Indianapolis, almost blew the game, kind of got fortunate. The fact that Frank Reich's fourth down decision didn't work out because Andrew Luck threw a bad pass, and then they got a first down, kicked a field goal, and won the game. They also could have lost last week to Dallas. I had them last week on a money line, about a -165, because I didn't want to lay 3.5. And I figured if I'm buying down that much juice, because half points in the NFL, sometimes when you're laying on a key number, they could be as high as 130 or 135. You know, some will even really try to cheat you and give you $1.40 if you're. And I'm talking the key numbers of like 3 and 7, which that game was on last week, the 3. So it's like I figured I might as well pay just a little bit extra and lay the money line. And I got to tell you, there are so many ways Houston could have lost that game. And look, Dallas made some mistakes too, but Houston's play calling was brutal, especially inside the 10. And you know they end up getting a win and going to overtime. So, but I think maybe Houston's looking at that as like, hey, we haven't been very good, but we're 2-3. We're only a game out of this division. As bad as we've been, we're only a game behind Jacksonville and Tennessee, who are certainly showing their share of vulnerabilities, and neither one look like they're a particularly dominant team that's going to run away with the division. So. I think Houston may be looking at it that way and looking a little more optimistically. And then you saw Buffalo, who the market absolutely hated last week. I mean, they opened 3.5 and went to 6. And I know 4 and 5 aren't key numbers, but that's still a decent-sized move on a side. And everybody was on Tennessee, and Tennessee was never even close to covering that game, let alone winning. And the final was 12-10. So now people are like, well, this Buffalo team, you know, they fight hard. You know, they're not great, but they fight hard every week. And yes, that's true. But then you're seeing a line of 9.5, and now it's mostly 10s across the board. You know, Houston is not one of those premium teams like I was talking about earlier where they're wanting to lay double digits with. You know, you got a 2-3 team laying 10 points. So, I mean, that almost indicates to me that Houston is that kind of anti-public favorite, that contrarian favorite, and those are some of my favorites, so to speak, to bet, are the ones that nobody likes. And people are going to look at Houston and see that number and be like, ew, and not want any part of it. But, you know, one of the analogies I like to use is sometimes you got to go where the stink is, and the stink is with Houston, and that line seems to stink, but I think it stinks for a reason.
Yeah, I think so too, man. It's an interesting one to be sure. And, you know, I was kind of looking at Buffalo at the outset thinking, can Houston really cover this kind of number? But, you know, a lot of good thoughts there with a little bit of a contrarian point of view from Wes. All right, so my next game on the board here, number 10, the Carolina Panthers plus one. Both Carolina and Washington coming out of the bye last week looked pretty bad. You know, Carolina did escape with the win over the Giants thanks to the 63-yard field goal. The Redskins did not escape with anything in their Monday Night Football game against the Saints, except for having to prepare on a short week here for the Carolina Panthers. So Panthers plus one, a side that I'm looking at, Thomas Davis comes back. Panthers offensive line got healthier during the bye. You know, they allowed five sacks in their first two games, only two in the last two games. Some of that probably getting some more familiarity with that Norv Turner offense. But you know, the Panthers take care of the football. They don't turn it over. They're very good on third down defense. They're sixth, whereas Washington, 27th. You know, the Saints spread out the Redskins, got the ball out in space, and Washington had a lot of problems with that. Say what you will about the lack of skill position pass catchers for Carolina, but they can get you spread out in space here a little bit with a guy like Christian McCaffrey, with the legs of Cam Newton. So I think when you look at this matchup here, I think from an X's and O's standpoint and a little bit of a situational standpoint, I do like Carolina here.
Yeah, this was actually a tough call for me because, you know, it's like I said earlier, you know, sometimes with bettors, when a team burns you the previous week, you're a little hesitant to go back with them, and sometimes for good reason. I mean, you know, I had a pretty solid week last week, but I did have the Redskins in the Monday night game, and they got absolutely obliterated. Now, they didn't get a benefit really of a good whistle, I don't think. They had a lot of penalties called against them, and it was New Orleans on Drew Brees night. So sometimes when you make a bet and it looks good before the game and then you look at the result, you're kind of like, man, I kind of see why maybe I lost. You know, it's like, what the hell was I thinking betting against the Saints on Drew Brees night when they're basically coronating for passing Manning for the yards record and all that. So this is a toughie for me. I mean, I had the Giants last week against Carolina, and it could have got away from the Giants, and the Giants looked like they were going to steal the game from the Panthers. And then the Panthers somehow got after they totally mismanaged that final drive in terms of clock management, send Graham Gano out there for 63 yards, and he nailed it. So, I mean, so maybe there's a little bit of negative perception on Carolina, too. There certainly is on Washington, after getting embarrassed on national TV on Monday night. And those are usually teams I would endeavor to want to take the following week. But there's also a little bit of undervalue on Carolina because it's kind of like they got fortunate to escape against a Giants team where, you know, everybody's fighting and Odell Beckham is being the diva wide receiver and people are questioning Eli Manning and how bad he is. And they cut Eric Flowers. The offensive line has been bad. So, which is ironic enough because the Giants, you know, obviously the result will be known by the time this airs Friday, but the Giants are getting a lot of money in the market this week and getting a lot of support. And I actually agree with it because I think they kind of hunker down and, you know, kind of say, you know, screw it and band together a little bit because you probably got 53 guys on that roster playing and what's being said in the media about them. But anyway, back to this game. The reason why I'm passing is because it's tough for me because I think you can make a case for Washington being a little bit better than what we saw last week, and I think you can make a case for Carolina for the same. So this is actually probably going to be a pass for me and one I stay away from.
A game that's not totally on my radar here, but you talk about teams kind of banding together in the face of adversity or public scrutiny or whatever. The Steelers kind of fit that mold this week, which I think is going to be a really interesting game to look at from a Super Contest consensus standpoint because, you know, the Bengals, who've been much better than Pittsburgh this year, still only a 2.5-point favorite. That line's not 3. We talked about that earlier on in the week on Bang the Book Radio. Maybe Pittsburgh is the side there, but I also think the Bengals are a little more trustworthy. So that's why I'm not really looking too much at that particular game. But one game I am looking at, I know you and I both like this game quite a bit. Number 22 in the Super Contest rotation order, the Denver Broncos. They're plus 6.5. I wish it was 7 like it is out there in the betting market. But maybe the fact that it's 6.5 will keep a couple of people off of this game. Look, I mean, the spot here is obvious. You know, you've got the Rams in a divisional sandwich spot coming off of a win over Seattle. San Francisco on deck. It's going to be cold. It's going to be snowy. It's going to be miserable in Denver. You've got going up to Seattle, then going out to Denver. Rams with a 3-game cushion. Everything just sets up for Denver here. Are they the better team? No, but this is purely a spot play in my estimation. And I know you've got some stronger takes about the Rams and maybe some of their shortcomings, but it's got to be Denver in this situation for me.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you. I think Denver is the side here. And, you know, going back first to the Super Contest line at 6.5, that may be also, you know, I've talked about this before, that the Westgate guys will put some opinion in the line. And, yeah, they'll dummy the line a little bit because they want, you know, to present a challenge to you, well, you know, where it's not so cut and dry. But maybe they're putting, you know, John Murray, Jeff Sherman, Ed Sammons, and all the brain trust over at the Westgate that make the numbers, you know, they might be telling you a little bit that they kind of think Denver's a good side here. The fact that they put it out at 6.5. And also, you know, we saw what the Rams last week win in Seattle, and we've talked about this on previous podcasts in terms of the really great home field advantages in the National Football League. Seattle's right up there every year, no matter what kind of team they have, whether they're an elite team or they're kind of a middle-of-the-road team, or even if they're a little bit lesser than that, they're always tough to beat at home. Denver is another one that always has a really good home field advantage that's going to be baked into the line because of the altitude, because of potential weather. You kind of saw it a little bit on Monday night with New Orleans. Great home field advantage, and it was still put at 6, so I read that as an indicator on Washington, and of course misread that one because New Orleans has a superlative home field advantage, and then plus you add the circumstances of Drew Brees and everything around that. The ceremony and stopping the game and all that. So I think Denver's the spot here. And the Rams, you know, did concern me a little bit on defense. I mean, Seattle really could have won that game. The Rams gave up 31 points to a Seattle offense that really hasn't been dazzling yet. I mean, a Seattle offense that has trouble protecting the passer, where Russell Wilson has to get out of the pocket and make plays for them to even have a chance. The running game has not really been great, really, the last couple years. And the Rams, despite their personnel, especially on their front four, which is one of the better ones in the league, still gave up 31 points. And I think very highly of Wade Phillips as a defensive coordinator. But I think, you know, winning is the ultimate deodorant and kind of, you know, mask away the stink of some of the issues that you have. And I think they do, you know, despite their really good offense, they've got some issues on defense. And at some point, I think that is going to bite them. It's not that Denver's offense is so explosive, but it's just how long can you get away with that? They gave up 31 to Minnesota. They gave up 31 to Seattle. I mean, how long can you keep, you know, getting away with that and having your offense bail you out? I mean, there's going to be some time where maybe your offense is a little bit off. You know, Jared Goff may be a little bit off. Maybe you turn the ball over. I mean, you can only, I think, in this league, even if you're a really good team, get away with that so often. So, I mean, I think Denver +7 in the pocket is really good, and I still actually like them +6.5 in the Super Contest.
Well, ironically enough, we're going to talk about another team here in a second that has similar defensive problems and maybe some of the same talking points that you just mentioned there, but maybe this is the week for the Rams. With that snow in the forecast, I think I saw 2 to 3 inches of snow during the game for this one. Going to make it ugly, probably going to make it low scoring as well, which you got to like Denver a little bit more there at the +6.5. And one last point I'll make here is that a lot of us talking about what that game last weekend meant for Seattle, that changing of the guard game kind of telling them, hey, your window is slammed shut here. And I mentioned early in the week, I think Seattle is a long-term fade now. That was a lot for the Rams to put into that game emotionally as well, because they finally got tested. They finally got the game that they wanted from somebody. I think Minnesota gave them a little bit of a game on Thursday night as well in some suboptimal conditions for the Vikings. But, you know, that was kind of the Rams' passing of the torch type of game like we talked about on Wednesday. They put a lot into that game. And now they've got to go back, play on the road, non-conference opponent, bad weather. You know, it's a young team. It's a team trying to establish a new culture and a new identity. It's not an easy spot for a team like the Rams. And no, the Broncos aren't that good. But still, you know, this is one of those, I think, kind of quintessential NFL spots that you look for. So I do like the Broncos plus 6.5 here, even though I'm not getting the 7. And I think I probably let the cat out of the bag on the last play here, but I've got to fade Kansas City this week with the New England Patriots. Patriots 22-10 against the spread in October since 2010. They've only allowed 19 points per game. Also 17-7-1 against the spread as a home favorite with extra prep time since 2010. Average winning margin 14.8 points per game. In those 25 games, they've only allowed an average of 3.2 points per game in the first quarter. Kansas City has gotten out in front a lot early in the game this year. They've been able to keep that bad defense from getting exposed because they've played from ahead and then added on or gotten the response touchdowns when they need them. I don't think New England lets that happen this week. I think this is that statement type of game for the Patriots where they started out slow, and they've done this. I mean, they've been a slow starting team the last few years. I think it's time that they flip that switch. And if you want to talk about a team in pro sports that can flip that switch, there's only one, and it's the New England Patriots. And I think this is a good opportunity for them to do that.
Yeah, and I want to give credit because where I first heard this term, and the term I've used over the years myself in terms of not only my angles, but in terms of embedding, but talking about games, this is a term I heard from Alan Boston many years ago. Now, this was obviously around college basketball, which Alan, I think, is most known for as a bettor, and it's the show 'em who's boss game. And it's a term Alan uses a lot. Usually it's like in a conference game where you have a team that's the established program, but maybe they're not quite the dominant team that year, and they get that young upstart who's kind of the new team on the scene that's going to challenge, and then all of a sudden, you know, that young upstart, you know, takes a loss. And I think that could very well happen here. The fact that it's 3.5 shows you that the Patriots are a lot stronger favorite than people think. I mean, you're going to see some people that are going to blindly bet Kansas City because it's like, oh, man, they're 5-0. Man, look at what they did to Jacksonville. When the market, that's another one, the market loved Jacksonville last week. You know, there was some sharp money on Jacksonville because it's like, at some point, you know, this thing with the Chiefs, even though I think they have staying power and they're really good, at some point they're going to run into something. You thought Jacksonville with that defense was going to be that team, and then the Chiefs got out to a lead, forces Blake Bortles to throw a lot more than he would like to, and then you get turnovers, and Jacksonville just could never really get back in the game. I don't think that's the case with the Patriots here, and plus I think the Patriots are a little more healthy than when they were to start the year. I believe Edelman is back, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. And, I mean, I think you have Gronk's a little bit more healthy. Sony Michel, I think, has been a very good find in the draft for them. And I think that there's the potential that he may emerge as kind of that starting running back they've really been looking for. I mean, they've had a lot of utility backs like James White and those guys. But probably the best back maybe they've had since – when Lawrence Maroney had a couple really good years up there where you can literally say, hey, this kid's a three down back. So that adds something to them. And I think, you know, the Patriots were a little bit down the first couple weeks. And like we said, they're not going to be the same team that they were in the first week of September. You know, they're going to be a better team. And I mean, this, we're still not in November, December when I think is when they're really at their best, but kind of a show them who's boss game. And I think Bill Belichick is, you know, they're here. And, I mean, these guys say they don't listen to the media or watch TV or read the newspapers or follow all that stuff, Instaface, or as Bill Belichick famously calls it. But they do. They know what's being said. They know that all the talk is about the Chiefs on all the television product and all of that. So you know, if you don't think that the New England Patriots are kind of saying, wait a minute, we've essentially been the kings of the American Football Conference for close to a decade and a half now, and everybody's talking about this team, we're not dead yet. So I totally agree with your assessment on the Patriots, and I think they're definitely out to prove a point on Sunday night.
All right, so the four games that looks like are going to make my card here, the four sides, I guess I should say, Vikings minus 10, Panthers plus 1, Broncos plus 6.5, Patriots minus 3.5. You know, we'll see. I'm staying away from the flat key numbers. I think I had 3 or 4 of them last week, and, you know, those didn't really work out too well in my favor there. Obviously, as you know, if you can count, that's only 4, and I have to have 5 for the Super Contest here. So a couple of other thoughts that I've got. The Texans were an interesting one and maybe a game I need to look at a little bit more. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're number 16 in the rotation order, plus 3.5. This is really just a straight fade of that Atlanta Falcons defense, which continues to be really bad. Tampa Bay off the bye. We talk about the value of bye weeks in the NFL. I don't think the bye week helps Chicago this week. I think Miami is a pretty interesting contrarian type of play. You want to look for the ugly contrarian dog. That's one of them to consider this week. But the Buccaneers needed that bye week. The Bears didn't want it. The Buccaneers needed it. So maybe that helps them a little bit here with Jameis Winston taking first-team reps once again. We know Tampa Bay can score. The question is, how many points is that defense going to give up against the Falcons offense that has found Calvin Ridley, that's kind of figured things out in the red zone? The other game I'm looking at here, Baltimore minus 2.5. Interesting matchup. Ex-Ravens DC, Dean Pees, the Titans defensive coordinator now. Is Tennessee looking ahead to London a little bit, or at least distracted some? Maybe. Baltimore off the rare loss to the Browns. Then they take money right away. This game opened pick 'em. Now it's Baltimore 2.5 or 3 out there. So those are the two games I'm kind of considering there for that fifth play. But again, lots of reading, lots of digging to try and figure out.
Yeah, and with the going to, back to the Tampa-Atlanta game, I mean, this is going to be an interesting thing to figure out here, where you've got to determine where Jameis Winston's head is at. Is he going to be, you know, hey, I've got my job back, everything's hunky-dory, you know, I'm the starter again, so there's not maybe that sense of urgency, or is he going to be the guy that said, you know what, I could have very easily lost my starting job here because Fitzpatrick played well and all of that, and I could have lost it, but now I've got it back, and I'm going to come out with a sense of urgency and make sure I don't lose it again.
Should be interesting to see what happens there in that one. Again, the question I have is, how many points do I need Tampa Bay to score? I mean, if this is the last team with the ball situation, getting that 3.5 could be kind of nice. But again, Tampa Bay needs to keep up its end of the bargain by scoring with Atlanta if the Falcons go out there and put up a big number. So, Wes Reynolds, you can follow his work on Twitter at Wes Reynolds and the number 1. As always, man, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, you bet, Adam. Always a pleasure.
All right, good segment there with Wes Reynolds. Always good to get his insight and analysis on the NFL card. Again, to recap here, what I'm looking at for week 6, Vikings minus 10, Panthers plus 1, Broncos plus 6.5, Patriots minus 3.5, and then I'll really have to dig deep on the card there to decide what I want that likely fifth pick to be. Again, as I said, the one play I really like is the Broncos this week. Like the Patriots quite a bit as well. The other two, the strongest of the other games on the card. But again, things may change a little bit based on those Friday injury reports, some of the things I read, stuff like that. Again, won't play the opposite side of a game, barring some sort of crazy injury or something like that. But you know, that card is subject to change. We got one more segment here for this week on Bang the Book Radio. That's with Brent, the head risk manager over at DSI Sportsbook. Lots of sharp action out there in both the college football and the NFL betting markets. So without further ado, here is this week's version of the odds report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. All right, I'm joined now by Brent, the head risk manager at DSI Sportsbook, for this week's version of the odds report. Brent, how's it going today, man?
Doing well, thanks, Adam. Looking forward to this college football slate for a change. I mean, we finally got some kind of decent marquee games and quite a few of them, so that's a nice break. We've had a couple weeks where it's just been kind of a bit of a lull, but some big games on tap this weekend.
Yes, we definitely do. We're going to talk about one game that's relatively big. We're not going to talk about any of these super marquee games here. No noteworthy sharp action over at DSI for those. But we'll go ahead and dive right in here. We got three sides and three totals to talk about on the college football side of the ledger. Beginning with game 117-118. Kind of a pretty interesting game here between Miami, Florida, and Virginia. What's the story here? Is it love for the home dog?
Yeah, it is. I mean, an interesting spot. We had Miami, Florida open up 7. Some places even had like 7 -115, and we're down to 6.5 right now. I do have a wager count pretty much even, so getting decent support for both teams. Virginia, I think they lost last week, and Miami, Florida, of course, is off like 5 straight wins. They lost opening week, I guess it was, to LSU. So they've been on a bit of a roll. A touchdown favorite here on the road. Now we're down to 6.5. That's because I take sharp money on Virginia. Like I said, my count is pretty much even, but I do have slightly more bets on Miami, Florida. So the public is, behind the road favorite in this spot. But +7 is where I had sharp money on Virginia. We're at 6.5 right now. The total here on this one has dropped quite a bit. I didn't get any sharp money here, but I'm suspecting that might have been sharp money that brought this one down to 47.5 from the opener of around 50.5, 51. So total has dropped. Nothing sharp here, but sharp money on the side for sure with Virginia +7.
So again, to clarify here for our listeners, because a lot of times we have games that we've got some sharp money on, but then the wager counts are off a little bit. Do have sharp money here on Virginia, but you said the wager count about even. So if this thing does move off of the 6.5, we've got a pretty good idea that it was some sort of sharp group that came in.
Yeah, I think a good example would be touch on one of these bigger games with Wisconsin and Michigan, which wasn't on the list to talk about. But you see that line has gone from an opener of below 7 in some places. We open at 7, but it's up to 9.5 there. This one, six or 6.5 or 7 up to 9.5. It's quite a substantial move. But like in our store here, I've got twice as many bets on Wisconsin now. So this isn't one of the games that we're going to talk about in terms of sharp and public split. But that's one of those games as well. When you take a look at the way the public is going, if this line continues to go up, it's pretty much a clear indication that, the public is backing the dog. So if it goes up as much as it has, there's sharp money the other way. Just touching on the Miami, Florida, going back to that, that's a good indication as well. I mean, if this one goes down to 6 as well with the public, slightly betting more on Miami, Florida, it's more sharp money that came in on Virginia.
All right, so let's talk about that Wisconsin-Michigan game for just a second there, because it does seem like, there's very clearly, to go from 6.5 up to 9.5, there's sharp involvement somewhere out there in the marketplace. It may not be at DSI, it may not be at Bookmaker, it may not be at BetOnline or Five Dimes. Somebody out there, though, did get it. So what's kind of the tipping point for you in terms of deciding, we probably need to adjust as well, even though we're not the ones that took a hit?
Yeah, I think usually just when you look at the market and everyone kind of goes the same way, and usually in a short period of time, that's your indication. Now, you'll see, especially on day of game, you'll see a lot of, a lot of games where numbers will pop up. And I saw last weekend specifically, it happened both in NFL and college football, where there was differences, on small numbers, like 4.5, 4 or 5, stuff like that, where some books were off from each other by like a full point, a point and a half. And you just kind of hold your own based on your own chart at that point. When you see the entire market going the same way, then you adjust. But, as long as you're within like a point, point and a half on most of these numbers, you kind of hold your own. Earlier in the week, you do tend to move a little more what we call on air. That means, moving with the market before you actually take any bets. And this is one of those cases where, we could hang a little bit lower on Wisconsin, just the general feeling that we're going to get money back that way, because the public has already played there. But just the move being so substantial, I mean, we did open 7 here, so I'm not at risk of getting middled if the game does land 7. So I can be a little bit more aggressive in terms of following the trend up to 9.5.
Well, that's a good thing for our listeners to take a look at on game day, and then also consider what happens, because early on in the week, if a number moves to 9.5 somewhere and you're still sitting there with 7, which obviously is a very, very extreme example, but the bettors that are out there have a lot more time to hit that number. When it's game day and the game is maybe an hour, a half hour away, something like that, then you will see some of those differences in the markets based on the charts at the respective sports books that are out there. So that's a very important distinction to make. And, it's also another illustration of, why your job can be so tough on game days.
Yeah, and this past week, the game with was it Washington and New Orleans, I think, is a good example of that as well. You saw big moves on, you know, very close to game time where, I mean, I was getting New Orleans money at 6.5 and I was hanging 6.5. There were some sevens early in the week, but that line basically went all the way down to 5.5 at so many places, and I was still getting New Orleans money. Now, I can respect the market and say, look, that must be sharp money coming in on Washington, but there's also kind of the position in terms of you want to, if your customers are laying a certain number and you're heavy to that side, why would you drop your number? And so we just kind of dug in at 6 -115 or 6.5 dog 15 and kind of held that while the, you know, some of the market was at 5.5 or 6. And, you know, like I say, I think it's quite a substantial move when you go from like 6.5 to 5.5, you know, just hours before game day. But as you saw, you know, with that game with the Saints and how they did and how, you know, how Washington looked, doesn't mean they're always right.
All right, let's move on to game 129-130 here. Another ACC showdown. ACC a little bit popular here so far on today's program. Duke and Georgia Tech. What do we got going on here?
Yeah, I talk about popular. I mean, Duke is definitely a popular one in this game here. I've got a wager count almost 4-1 favoring Duke, which kind of is a bit of a surprise. But, I mean, 4-1, that happens to be their record as well. They're on the road at Georgia Tech here. So I got, you know, it's public money has kind of just been on Duke, you know, for the last few weeks as well. They're kind of just like a team to go with this year. I would say just the kind of the opposite of Nebraska. People have been betting the heck on whoever Nebraska is playing. That's who they're going with. And with Duke, I mean, we've seen this probably 3 weeks in a row where I've got a lot of public money and a higher wager count on Duke. Now I did get sharp money on Duke as well, so it's not a great spot for me in that I've got public money with Duke, sharp money plus Duke. We're sitting, you know, we did move off the three. We had to go with the, you know, off the three. There are some like three dog 15s out there right now or some 2.5 flat. I'm 2.5 flat because I've got both sharp and public on Duke.
So where do you envision this one going? I mean, at this point, are you kind of expecting this one to go down to 2 before it goes back up to 3?
Honestly, I think it's going to hang where it is. I mean, whatever happens, you know, in terms of substantial movement, I think it's going to, you know, if it goes back up to 3, it's definitely going to be sharp money that put it there. That's something to look out for in terms of game day. Like I said, right now the public has definitely tipped their hand in terms of wager count, almost 4 times as many bets on Duke. Now, again, the wager count is the individual number of bets I've taken. So, that's, you know, that's quite one-sided in terms of favoring Duke. And like I said, they are kind of like the flavor of the year. Betting on Duke, again, they're sitting at 4-1 with their record, so their backers have been rewarded. But, you know, something that I would look out for is if it does drop down to 2, you know, I wouldn't necessarily be able to say that was sharp money, probably just more public money going that way. But I could say, like with confidence, that if this number goes back up to 3, it will be sharp money that drives that.
One other point to ask you about this game here is that there are probably a fair amount of people out there that think that once a number moves down below 3, they might as well just take the money line. So if you start to get some money line exposure, do you just move the money line or will you move the spread along with it?
We'll usually move, you know, we tend to, you know, as a philosophy, you move the markets individually, but obviously your spread and money line are related. Now, in this case as well, I've got more bets on Duke on the money line as well. So it looks like this one's going to go the same way in terms of the public is betting Duke on the money line as well as they are on the point spread. So it probably won't be an issue at all in terms of moving both at the same time. You know, if I'm moving one, I'm going to move the other because of the money going the same way. You generally, you know, get spots like that where sometimes you will have, you know, money on perhaps a small favor like 2.5 and 3, and you might get dog money the other way. It happens more in NFL, I think. But you do have to hold on to those numbers in terms of keeping them relative. But if you're off by what a typical number would be, you know, 5 cents, maybe 10 cents, it's really not that, you know, not that big of a deal. I mean, if NFL you're like 3 dog 15 and minus 145 on the money line, it's not really, you know, big difference. If you go down to 140, then yeah, maybe it is. But you know, anywhere around 3 or around 150, and that's, you know, with this game here dropping down to 2.5, we are sitting at 135 now on the money line. Now that you mentioned it,
all right, let's go to game 137-138 here. First total with some sharp action on the board. Which side of the total does it come in on?
Well, probably no surprise when Houston's involved. We've got money on the over from the public. The count's only about 2-1 over, but the bad spot for us is that I got sharp money going the same way. So we're up to 69.5, and I took sharp money on the over 67 here. So, you know, this is talking Houston team who's put up a whole ton of points. I think they put up I think the first couple of weeks alone, they put up 45 each week and 63. They probably were involved in a game like around 100 points following that. So Houston's putting up a ton of points. So they, you know, their games generally contribute to overs. And, you know, same thing here in terms of a bad spot. And then I've got the public and the sharp money going the same way in terms of the over. I'm just going to where they were You know, last week was 41-26 versus Tulsa. Before that was 70-14. Before that versus Texas Tech was a 63-49 game, and then they put up 45 each game prior to that. So, you know, general trend there in terms of the public getting behind that, obviously, is, you know, it's pretty easy to figure that one out. But unfortunately, we've got sharps going that way as well.
All right, we'll take a jump down to game 173-174 here. Temple takes on Navy. We've actually seen a pretty significant move on the side for this game, up from 4.5 to 7, pretty much market-wide. It's the total that took some sharp action, though, over at DSI.
Yeah, we've got under money on this one with Temple and at Navy. You know, I think if you look at Temple, they've got, you know, a decent defense in terms of their numbers so far. I think they gave up quite a bit to Boston College, but aside from that, they've looked all right. Maybe sitting at 2-3. So a couple of, you know, suspect teams here, not your stellar teams. Temple at 3-3 on the road here at Navy. Under 52 is where I got sharp money on this one. We're sitting at 49 right now. And again, this is not, you know, one of those games where I'm going to get a whole lot of public involvement on it. I do have a wager count, about 2-1 favoring the under. So your typical play where you're looking for the public money to come over, looks like it's not going to come on this game.
What about the side? I mean, somebody got hit here. What do the counts look like for you?
Yeah, right. I mean, right now my count's really not that bad. It does actually favor Navy. You know, there's also, you know, injury information now. That's probably not the, you know, I know Temple's running back is questionable. Navy's quarterback, I think, has been upgraded. So none of the injury information really should affect this total at all. But you know, in terms of the side itself, yeah, I've got, like I said, the line's gone up, and I've got, you know, money account favoring the other side now. Again, I don't want to read too much in this one just because it's not a typical game where you're going to get public money involved in it.
All right, well, let's take a look here at game 179-180, Nebraska and Northwestern. And we talked about this game a little bit on Thursday's show, and it's good to talk about it here on this show as well, because there really aren't any significant injury news or, you know, news updates from this one. It's not like we've got suspensions or anything like that. I can't think of the last time I saw a move of this size, middle of the week, really. I mean, it's been kind of a thing that's been growing throughout the week, in week 7. I mean, this is a significant mover.
Yeah, it is. And, like, you know, we talked about in the past as well, that, I mean, the public just has general rule, almost since the, you know, opening week, they've just been going against Nebraska. Now, that, again, they've been rewarded for that, as Nebraska hasn't won a game so far this year. You know, Purdue beat them up pretty good, Wisconsin last week, and Michigan kind of rolled over them. So, I mean, Troy beat them. So you're looking at a Nebraska team who's been a, you know, a colossal disappointment this season, I think. But you also see this number trending the other direction in terms of what the, you know, the public is going with. The public obviously has been betting against them. As I touched on, Duke has been a team that the public has been going on with all season long. Nebraska, the team that they just kind of like close their eyes and bet against them last week, was the same situation. This week, no different, where I've got a sharp public split with the sharp money on Nebraska plus 6. We're sitting down to 4.5. I think there's 1.5 out there, but 4.5 and 5, not a great big difference. But we're down to 4.5 on this one, with sharp money coming in on Nebraska plus 6. And again, I mean, Northwestern, yeah, they're sitting at 2-3. You know, I think they've lost 3 of their past 4 as well. They beat Michigan State last time out, I guess it was. So, I mean, you know, it's easy enough, I guess, for the public to get behind Northwestern. My wager count is almost 5-1 favoring them. But it's just a situation where just people are just so against Nebraska all season long that I'm no surprise. And I'm not surprised at all with my wager count being as one-sided as it is. And I'm kind of, you know, you like to take small comforts in the fact that you got sharp money with you on Nebraska, even though they are on the road in this spot.
Now, there are some games that are kind of sharp setups a little bit. They'll kind of massage the market some early in the week, come back over the top on the other side as limits are increased on Thursday, and then, of course, increased again on into game day. So are you anticipating some Northwestern buyback here from the sharp players?
I think it's going to, you know, if it moves at all, it's just going to kind of hover around where it is between the 4.5 and maybe 5.5. You know, it's not going to touch on any key numbers. I don't think it's going to drop down to 4. It's not going to go up to 6. I think it's just going to sit where it is. Like I said, I think most books are probably in the same situation as we are in terms of having sharp money on the dog and also knowing that the public's going to go the other way. So, it's you know, it's a comfortable spot for us in terms of sitting on the number where we are.
All right, one more game to touch on here on the college side, and I apologize. This is not Georgia LSU. This is not Michigan State, Penn State. It's New Mexico State and Louisiana, game 199-200. What's going on here, Brent?
Yeah, well, it seems like you mentioned those two games. I do want to touch on I will touch on Penn State just because that number has dropped from 14.5 down to 13.5, but I've got my wager count almost 2-1 favoring Penn State. So that kind of gives the impression that sharp money might have come in the other way. Georgia LSU, you know, there's really, if you look at the, you know, the lines or the line movement, and I think it's better to say the lack of line movement in that game. Georgia will pretty much open 7.5 and still 7.5. That total opened around 50.5 or 51. It's still 50.5. So, you know, nothing significant there. Counts are close in that Georgia LSU game. And the count, like I said, 2-1 favoring Penn State, although that one has dropped from 14.5 to 13.5. So it's kind of maybe an indication that sharp money came somewhere on Michigan State. But, New Mexico State here and Lafayette. Sharp money on the total of this one. I've got a small count favoring the over as well. Public, again, it's not a game that they're going to get highly involved in probably, but if they do, they're going to play the over, and they have here. Unfortunately, we got sharp money in the over of this one as well. Over 64.5 is where they came. We're up to 68.5 as well on this one. So that's a pretty big move there, going up to, you know, four full points. But we get at the higher numbers and stuff like that, it's obviously easier to move numbers like this. So over 64.5 is where I got, 64.5 is where I got money here. I think market wise, some places open at 63.5, so almost like a 5-point move on this one. 68.5 is where we sit right now. Over 64.5 is where the sharps came.
All right, let's transition over to the NFL side here. Pretty interesting card coming up on Sunday. We'll start with game 259-260, Indianapolis Colts on the road to take on the New York Football Jets. What's the story on this one, Brett?
Yeah, it's probably not, you know, one of the, there are some decent, you know, decent games this week in NFL. You got the, you know, the traditional Wembley game and stuff like that. And the Jets and Colts are probably not high in your list of games that you want to sit down and watch. But I do have sharp money on this one, and that came on the Colts. Now, what we have right now, Jets are at home, favored by -2. There are some like 2.5 dog 15s out there. We're sitting at -2. This line that was up around 3, and that's where I got Colts money. So Colts money +4 is where that sharp money came in. Indianapolis, I mean, sitting there, I guess, the records might be deceiving in terms of the fact that the Jets are sitting 2-3, Colts just 1-4. And I mean, the Jets, I mean, you know, that opening week game, it seems like they almost knew everything that Detroit was going to do, and they pulled off the big upset there. Their other win, I think, was against Denver, where they, you know, it was just kind of a bad spot for Denver in terms of travel-wise was a bad spot for them. It was a schedule spot, was kind of bad on short rest. And, you know, the Colts are getting healthy. I think Luck is improving and getting better. So I can understand how the Sharps would get behind the Colts in this one. Their defense is getting a bit healthier. I think they're getting like a couple of cornerbacks and linebacker back this week, and Luck seems to be improving. So, it's kind of a decent spot, I think, to look for the Colts and getting the 3s where the sharp money came. Now, that line obviously is gone, but Colts +3 at the Jets is where I had the first sharp play. My wager count slightly favors the Colts as well, almost 2-1 there.
So this number opened 3.5 at some shops that are out there. As we talked about, it's already down to 2.5. So it did cross through that key number of 3, although it did it earlier on in the week, which is, you know, a little bit of a silver lining there for the risk managers that are out there. But one of the things that's always interesting to look at from an NFL standpoint, the Jets dominated the Denver Broncos last week, excuse me, and they ran the ball really, really well, 323 rushing yards in that game for the Jets. So how much of that do you think played into this line opening 3.5? Was this a little bit of an overreaction? Should 2.5 have been the opener?
Yeah, I mean, hindsight being what it is, and you know, as well, when this number did open, I think the places that did open 3.5 were like 3.5 -15, or even like 3.5 dog 20s. I don't know. I think when you're kind of expecting money to come the other way, you're better off just holding, you know, opening up on the number 3 in case you have to dip below it. So fortunately enough, we didn't, you know, we opened at 3, and that's where we took our sharp action. So I'm not worried about the 3.5 so much. But yeah, I think too, I mean, the Colts kind of, they used to be one of those teams with Luck where people used to get behind, you know, quite regularly. And this year it hasn't been that way at all. And people are kind of, you know, not jumping on them at all. And obviously the Jets, just the fact that they were so bad for so long, they're kind of a team to like as well. And again, you talk about overreaction. Yeah, they ran for a ton of yards, but I mean, Crowell went for a couple of big runs, of course, that kind of padded those numbers as well. And the fact that Denver, like I said, they were just not in a bad schedule spot in terms of having to travel, go coast to coast and stuff like that. So it might have been like one of those ripe spots for them. And, you know, looking at this number, the opener of, say, if it opened at 3, you'd say on a neutral field, would this game be a pick? Yeah, you know, maybe around there. I guess the an opener of 3 might not have been bad, but the Sharps found value here with the Colts.
All right, so we didn't talk too many of the marquee games, at least not with regards to sharp action on the college side, but we will be hitting a couple of really marquee games here on the NFL side, beginning with game 261-262, AFC North rivals, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. And, you know, you guys got to love, I know you're part of the risk management team, but the odds team really has to love these Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati games, because you just throw up 2.5 or 3 on the favorite and then just kind of let it play out.
Yeah, no, you're pretty much bang on. I mean, those games within that division. I mean, I don't know. Should we throw Cleveland in that mix now? I don't know. Maybe not yet. But yeah, I mean, you like you said, like Cincinnati, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. These are teams who, like, you know, within their division, you get the feeling that they just generally don't like each other. And putting the home, you know, home team as a favor of 3 dog 15 or the, you know, 2.5 or whatever, generally seems to be working, I think. And this game here is, you know, no different in terms of being Cincinnati at home favored by 2 or 2.5, and again, perhaps lower, just because people are always, you know, they're keen to get behind Pittsburgh. They're one of the more public teams we have in the NFL, so you can always pretty much count on getting Pittsburgh money, and this game's no different. Sitting at Cincinnati -2, we are, and a wager count almost 3-1 favoring Pittsburgh. So I could, you know, there are some like 2.5 dog 15s out there as well, but most of the market is around 2, and I could see this line kind of hovering where it is. The total, fortunately, I think for us, is where we got sharp action that was on the under 54. Again, I touched on the fact there's kind of like a divisional dislike between these teams, and that creates, I think, for more competitive defensive games. I've got a count almost 2-1 favoring the over, so that's good for me as well in terms of having the public betting the over. Public almost always bets Pittsburgh games over. I think, you know, the perception, too, with Pittsburgh is that their defense is not that good. But if you look at, you know, numbers-wise and stats like that, they're really not, you know, not a bad defensive team. And Bengals, of course, at home, they're getting perfect back. And I think he's like a real key to that defense. So, we're, you know, I'm quite comfortable with, you know, having the public go against us in this one and us siding with the sharps. Under 54 is where we got that sharp action, sitting at 52.5 right now.
All right, we're going to talk about game 265, 266, Seattle and Oakland. We do have sharp money both side and total here. But before we get to that, Brent, I just want to ask, do you guys do anything differently with these London games? Because there is a little bit more of an unknown, a little bit more intrigue. You know, I mean, obviously not when Jacksonville's playing, because they're basically the London Jaguars at this point. But you've got teams that really haven't been there very often. Do you still treat this as a regular game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, really, what else can you do? You look at this game and, you know, whatever, you know, these two teams can be going up against in terms of the unknowns and how they react and all that kind of stuff. They're both really much, you know, in the same position. You're looking at the, you know, the coaches and stuff like that and their experience. Now, of course, Gruden hasn't been around for, you know, in the league for a while. So, you know, he's probably, you know, new to this and kind of looking at, wow, what's this London kind of stuff? But no, in terms of opening the numbers and stuff like that, you basically just kind of got to go with what you know, what you think is the right number in terms of opening it up. I think, you know, Gruden came right out and said he's not really looking forward to it as well. The quote was something like, I think I read a quote. He said, like, we did a lot of research on it, and I don't know much about it. Something to that effect is what he said. So that's, I don't know. Gruden's always good for stuff like that. So this is Seattle. I'm going to say Seattle at Oakland, but not really. Seattle and Oakland in Wembley. And I've got sharp money on the side, and I got sharp money on the total. Now, this hasn't really moved much. I know the opening number did come at 3 dog 15. We're sitting like 2.5 -15. But I've got a decent count in terms of favoring the Raiders, almost 2-1 favoring them, which is good for me that I do have Seattle money that was sharp. Now, again, this number hasn't popped back up to 3, but, you know, it might. It has kind of trended that direction from, you know, the 2.5 up to 2.5 -15. I've seen some 2.5 -20s out there, so it seems to be creeping back up. I do have sharp money on the over as well. Now, that's not a good spot for me, in that I've got a wager count almost 4 times as many bets favoring the over as well. You saw Seattle last week. I mean, Russell Wilson seems to be getting back into his groove. And you talk about Seattle's defense without Earl Thomas. I mean, they go from a decent average defense to well below average when he's out of there. Oakland defense is, I think, the bottom of the league, right near the bottom. So perhaps no surprise that I've got, you know, money from the public going on the over, but sharps are that way as well. But again, I think just Seattle in terms of the offense is probably why they're getting the love from the sharp guys, and public might be going the other way. So it's not one of our, you know, what you call our more dramatic sharp and public splits, but still 2-1 is the wager count favoring Oakland. So we're in a decent spot. I could see this line kind of going back up to 3, and if it touches 3, even 3 dog 15, it's probably more sharp money that came that way on Seattle.
Interestingly enough, we had 5 games outside the United States last year in the NFL. 4 of them saw one team score at least 33 points. So maybe, you know, teams have gotten a little bit more accustomed to these international games. Now, of course, Patriots won 33-8 over the Raiders, so that stayed under. Vikings-Browns went over. There was 49 points in that game. Rams scored 33, shut out the Cardinals. Saints scored 20, shut out the Dolphins. And then 44-7 was the London Jaguars over the Ravens. So we had one team really score a bunch of points in a lot of these games, the other team not really so much. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the final score in that one. We'll go to one of the 4 o'clock kickoffs here, 271-272. Jacksonville takes on Dallas. You probably expected money coming in on this side in this game.
Yeah, I mean, touching back, just going back to that total that we talked on with the Seattle-Oakland game, I read something today as well that the pace for the NFL in terms of points scored this season is about 1,000 more in terms of the pace compared to last year's total. That's like a 9.4 increase. So, you know, stuff like that are things that we as bookmakers definitely have to make adjustments for in terms of the way the scoring in the league is going and the way people are betting it. Now, you can always count on public guys betting the over, but when you get spots like this where you've got public and sharp going the same way, you really want to be like a little more aggressive with your moves. And, you know, and this one is one spot where, you know, I could easily see this one going up to 48.5 by kickoff. But Jacksonville here, we're talking about Jacksonville at Dallas. This line has gone up with the Jaguars now. Pretty much a solid 3-point favorite across the board. There were even some 3-minus 115s. This one opened at 1.5. I didn't open at 1.5 ourselves. We did open and get sharp money at 2.5 on Jacksonville. So sharp money here on Jacksonville on the road at Dallas. And it's funny. I mean, you look at both of these teams. You know, Dallas is sitting. You know, they're right in the thick of things in terms of their division. But they look. You know, they just haven't been impressive at all this year. But I don't know if you want to call it a competitive division or what the right word is, or just a bad division. You've got Washington at 2-2, Dallas 2-3, Philly's just beat to heck at 2-3, and the Giants at 1-4. So it's almost scary to see that the Giants are, sorry, Dallas is basically one win from being out of the top of the division, whereas Jacksonville, I think a lot of people expect a little bit more from them. They did have that big letdown after beating New England, which maybe not a surprise. Had sharp money on them last week against Kansas City. That was one of those games where people were kind of, you got the feeling that people were just waiting on that spot to jump on Jacksonville, even though they were on the road and that didn't work out. And here now we have them with Jacksonville again. I guess the kind of, you know, consensus among sharps is Jacksonville is that good a team. They just got to get it all together. Sharp money on this one was -2.5. Right now, like I said, we're three minus 15 pretty much across the board. Counts pretty much pretty even in terms of the number of bets I've taken both ways.
All right, one more game to touch on here in the NFL. I promise that we're hitting the marquee games, and it does not get more marquee than this one. Sunday Night Football, Kansas City takes on New England. You're going to have a massive count for this game, as you know full well. A lot of public players going to get involved in the late game. Total all the way up into the 60 range as well. We've only had one regular season game in the 60s since 2000. So what's going on with the sharp action in this game?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, when was the last time you saw an NFL total around 60? And you know, these two teams, or maybe one of these two teams, and the Rams is probably where you're going to see a spot like that. We have Kansas City on the road at New England. And again, I mean, just, you know, it doesn't even have to be the Sunday night game, and we would have got just a ton of action on this game. It is the Sunday night special here with Kansas City on the road. New England, you know, you see like when they got their whole receiving core together with Edelman and stuff like that, Gronkowski, Gordon's kind of stepping up there. And this is the way their running backs catch the ball out of the backfield. It's just scary how they can move the ball. Kansas City could pretty much say the same thing in terms of the talent they have on offense. They put up, 30 to 40 points almost every game. So the fact that this total is around 59.5 is no surprise. Of course, the Chiefs have been giving up a whole lot of points as well. Their defense is kind of like, you don't want to take bend and don't break, but they've been kind of been bending and breaking, giving up points, but their offense has put up so many. So this is going to be one of those great spots for us in that I don't think I'm going to have to move the number a whole lot. We did open up 3-minus 120. I took sharp money on New England -3, -120. We're up to 3-minus 25 right now, but I do have a wager count that slightly favors the Chiefs as well. So it's interesting. I mean, I've often said that the next time that we need the Patriots to win will be like the first time. This could be the one spot that come kickoff we actually need the Patriots to win. Now, I'm not saying that yet, but my wager count does slightly favor Kansas City. But again, sharp money on New England. So I'm hoping that we're actually going to need New England to win for the first time since Jesus was a boy.
The question that I have here is, we saw money come in against Kansas City 2 weeks ago against Denver. We saw money come in against Kansas City last week with Jacksonville. Do you think that sharp guys may see a buy point at some point with the Kansas City Chiefs here? I mean, is there a chance that sharp action comes back in the other way?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a chance, of course, but I think this is one of those spots where, you know, just Kansas City being on the road and just not, you know, not a whole lot of faith. I'm gonna call it in their defense, I think, is what drives this one. And there's a whole lot more faith, I think, you know, among sharp people with, you know, New England and their offense and Tom Brady and Belichick and all that kind of stuff. So this is definitely one of those spots where the public is going to keep this number where it is. I think around, you know, it could go say 3.5 flat or 3.5 dog 15, but the money on Kansas City is not going to stop coming from the public. The total, you know, I think it's kind of interesting to note that you finally kind of hit a number high enough that you can divide action on a game like this in terms of my wager count. It actually slightly favors, you know, the number of bets I've taken slightly favors the under. Now, again, by kickoff, I expected it to be probably about 2-1 favoring the over, but I just find it kind of interesting that we finally got one right in terms of opening the number high enough. Now, I think 58 was the first opener. I opened 59. We're at 59.5. So you think, wow, is this number too high? It just kind of seems too high, but you let the bettors dictate where it goes, and so far it seems to be the right one in terms of the total.
Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook for this week's version of the Odds Report. Appreciate your time as always, sir. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Adam. Appreciate you having me on.
Always fun there to chat that segment with Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook. Lots of interesting insight here into both the college football and the NFL betting cards. Coming up on our Monday edition of Bang the Book Radio, Joe Everett will join us for the NFL Week in Review and Monday Night Football Preview. We'll chat about that Monday Night Football game between the 49ers and the Packers and then recap what we saw in Week 6 of the NFL season. We'll follow that up with the Week 8 college football first look with Kyle Hunter of huntersportspicks.com. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Have a happy, healthy, smart, safe weekend, and I will talk to you again on Monday.